Welcome to the Representing Rural podcast by Rural Community Alliance. And we are continuing our series with having conversations with individuals, with some of the individuals that we recognize as champions of rural Arkansas this summer. And I would be remiss if I did not have a conversation with Ms. Dorothy Singleton. She was someone that literally brought me into the Rural Community Alliance fold when I was a junior in high school. So I have the honor and pleasure of having a conversation with her today. How are you doing today, Ms. Singleton?
Just fine. And I am glad that we're having this conversation. I love telling the story. It was a very joyful experience for me. And I am glad to see that you are keeping it going. And that does my heart good.
Well, thank you. You laid a good foundation for me. So I'm very appreciative of that. That foundation has been enough to sustain myself and the staff and keep us going. So I just want to get into it of how did you start community organizing in rural communities across the state of Arkansas?
You know, I was sitting one day watching TV and they were talking about closing schools down. And the school that they mentioned was mine, the school that I graduated from. And it just tore my heart because I knew how hard Mr. Fred Martin Jr., who was at the time the superintendent, he had been a teacher, he'd been a principal, he brought his wife in, he brought his kids in. And he had done so much for the community of Sherrill and Altimer and Tucker and Wapaseka. And until it just tore my heart apart to see that they were talking about closing down the schools in our community. So I decided to go up to a meeting in Little Rock. The first meeting that I went to was the State Board of Education. And I sit in there and they were like, talking over my head. I had no clue really what they were talking about. But at the same time, I heard that there was a legislative session was going to be starting. So I decided I never knew even what a legislative session was. You know, I worked corporate America. Huh?
What year was this?
Say what now?
The year. What year was that?
It had to have been, I came back to Arkansas. I retired from AT&T in 2000, mm-hmm. I think. And I came back to Arkansas in about 2001. So this had to have been like 2001 or somewhere along in there.
Okay.
I may be wrong, but I'm guessing at it. I think that's what it was. But anyway, I went to the legislative session and when I'm looking around, I saw a school bus out in the parking lot that it came from North Arkansas. And I saw that community was sticking together, coming in, speaking up for their schools, speaking to the legislators. They were on the schedule to speak to the legislators. And so the school that the focus was on at that particular time was your school. And I said, I have no clue where that's at, but let me just see. So that was the advantage of having GPS on your phone. So I just went to, I went to Elaine. And when I got to Elaine, I attended a meeting. Okay. I met your dad and I think your mom too. But I met some of the other community leaders and they was showing us the community and, you know, showing us how the condition that the school was in. And, you know, it was just a lot going on. And I just decided, you know, I've been a union steward working, you know, when I worked for the AT&T, I'd mm-hmm. been a union steward. So, and I'd been in the military. So I'd learned that put up your dukes and fight kind of mentality, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I just said, you know, it's time for African American people to start standing up for their schools and their communities. And so basically, when I went to the meeting, that's what I said. And I'm looking at the people in the meeting agreeing with me. I said, oh, they agree with me. So, you know, and it just, one of the other things is that when we were in the meeting, we started talking when your dad was saying, you know, I'm old. And I, so that's when the conversation came up about us saying we need to bring in the young people, because the, you know, the young people are the ones who will be losing big time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they come in and understand how the system works, then they will stand up for themselves. And so that's why we started bringing in young people who were among the first that your mom and dad said, come on and go to this meeting. And that was basically where kind of all started. And we started bringing in the other young people like Lincoln from Hughes, and I'm trying to think, there were some others from down in South Arkansas.
Some other districts that were going through similar things over the years.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I just, you know, it was just one of those occasions that I just got in my car and just started, you know, just driving around and looking at these communities and looking at these schools and talking to people in the communities. And I saw that the people had a heart. They wanted to keep their schools. They was just kind of, you know, didn't know how to you know, to keep the fight or to get up the fight and move forward. And so that's kind of where we started from. And then I met, I'm trying to think, it was somebody from, oh, the group from Mississippi.
Oh yeah,
they were fighting for their they were fighting for their
Southern
schools
Echo.
In Mississippi also. Yes, Southern Echo.
Mm-hmm.
And when I, yeah, when I met the group from Southern Echo, that was the people who I'm like, okay, so these are the fighters. They're the ones who can bring the word into Arkansas and teach the people in Arkansas how to stand up for their schools, because they had organized their communities. And there was another one too. What was the older man's name that was, he was way up in the age, but he had so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you remember who I'm talking about?
He just passed away.
Exactly.
Hollis. What's his name?
Hollis. Yes. Yes. That was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the whole, scenario was just awesome for me. Just good to be able to stand up. And that was the other thing that we had to start changing, how people were being negative about their own communities and being, you know, saying the African American community. We had to really start working with them on stop it already.
You know, it's so easy to fall into the negative or what's not going wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what's not going right.
Yeah.
It's so easy to
right.
fall into that, especially when you're in a space that for generations has systemically been impoverished and all that. It's easy to fall into giving up and apathy. And honestly, that's
right.
something that we're still dealing with today.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to bring back the importance of organizing in rural communities.
Yes. And when I went up to the Capitol, that's when I met Levina.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to talking about, you know, the coming together of the schools, not based on race, but based on what was going on in these communities, and these communities were suffering because of their size. It wasn't had nothing to do with the fact that the people didn't have the wherewithal to do what they needed to do. The people had it. It was, I never did figure out exactly what the pushback was, what the true pushback was for the community. But it had something to do with money. And that part I did, you know, because they kept bringing it up about the per student funding and how if the money go to this community, it won't go to this community and all of that. And so they came up with this idea of closing the schools in the rural communities that would get the money to come, that would direct the money over to their community. forget the fact that our kids was going to not get a quality education. They're going to, what did they say? It took 5 years for the kids to adjust to the new school district. And in the meantime, there was a lot of chaos and confusion, more so than there was quality education. And so that's when our focus became, you know, when I'm talking to Levina and she's talking about our focus should be on quality education rather than money. And that's when, you know, we really started to come together. And I, you know, this was the other thing that I noticed. When our legislators started seeing that the Black communities and the white communities was coming together, their language changed.
Some of them
still, you know, would be negative, but there were some communities up in the northern part of Arkansas that says, you know, they came in, there were some people who got elected so that they could, you know, fight for their communities.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a rewarding experience. And you know, when I met your mother and father and I learned, one of the things that, you know, we said as an organization is that we need to keep the organization going for years. And so to do that, we need to bring in the young people. And that is what we got, that thought pattern from the Mississippi Southern Echo crew.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they said they had stayed around for years, is that they always brought in young people. Everybody brought in somebody under them.
Yeah.
And so that's what we started doing. Yeah. That's what we started doing.
That's so important in leadership. I was mm-hmm. having a conversation last week with another champion, and you know, the leadership gap that we see in rural Arkansas, because, you know, people get in positions and they stay there for forever.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, you're talking yeah. about Congress. Like, people who are in their 80s serving in Congress, thank you for serving, but there has to be someone that is qualified, that is well qualified and younger in your
right.
area that you serve, that can also be elected
right.
to this position.
Right.
That's I feel like that's a conversation that, and that is why I'm so intentional about making sure I said intentional about making sure that our youth network is uplifted and they understand the importance of civic engagement and being involved in.
Right.
They
right.
go to the quorum court meetings and the city council and school board meetings and, you know, understand, you know, one day this is a position that you can hold, and I hope you do hold, or if you do not, that
exactly.
you encourage someone else around you to run for these positions, because it's just so important that we continue that instead of people getting into these positions and thinking their careers. That is not
exactly
the case, and it should, I mean, it should not be the case. It is the case. But this past legislative session was very interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But out of that, we had two bills that pretty much got rid of Act 60. We had the one by Senator John Payton. He was a sponsor. He was one of the champions this summer that we also recognized. That pretty much got rid of
okay.
Act 60.
Okay.
And
good.
Representative Mark McElroy, he wrote a bill that was specific to the Marvin Lane situation,
mm-hmm.
and it also was passed. So,
good.
You being in the trenches for over two decades, probably trying to get that legislation that closed so many rural schools.
Trying
to get rid of it, and now seeing that it's pretty much null and void, how do you feel?
I feel that, I feel two ways. Number one, that we did accomplish something. And number two, that there is a change in mindset among our leaders, especially mm-hmm. our young people. So because of that, I feel that there is a there's still a void, and there is still some work to do. And I just pray that you and Lincoln and all of the other young people don't give up. you know, that you know how we came together and put together those strategic plans. I pray that there is still a plan in place, you know, mm-hmm. that there's still someone out there who, you know, who got the future thoughts in their mind, and seeing how this can, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that we talked about. How can this impact the future of our kids? And one of the things that was going on at that time, and still is, when they were talking about schoolhouse to jailhouse, schoolhouse to jailhouse, and that is still an issue.
Yeah.
That is still very, very much an issue. And so it's still, still so badly need to be addressed, need to be done. So mm-hmm. I'm just praying that you guys will just take it to the next level, you know what I mean? Just keep it going and take it on to the next level. And, you know, everybody don't want to talk about advocating because that sounds like you are, you know, you're negative.
Yeah.
But advocating we need to be advocates. Advocates are very important right now, just as much as it was 15, 20, 30 years ago, you know.
Absolutely.
When it just as important now as it was when Martin Luther King was advocating for our community. The only thing that needs to be done is that there need to be some unification in the advocating. The community need to come together, and it don't need to be about race
mm-hmm.
because the issue now is about money.
Mm-hmm.
It is strictly, truly about money. And while I personally want to see some changes made, I want people to understand where the money come from, who the money go to, how the money is dispersed, and all of that. That's what our young people need to understand now, because that is not taught in school. It may come up as a conversation, but it's not taught, and that is that's a very, very important thing. If you you remember when we were going into these communities and we were looking at what's going on over here opposed to what's going on down here, what's going on up here opposed to what's going on down, that needs to still be a conversation. And no, it doesn't have to be in a fighting mode,
right.
But it needs to be done in an advocating mode, because the Black communities are still suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Our Black boys are still suffering, and we need to address those issues. You know that. What did they say? $8,500 per inmate? Please. Hmm. You don't think they still seeing that? They still
right.
want that.
They still
want that money.
Because you know, prisons are private. Yes. Their businesses, they you know, that's a lot of money that they get. Just like poverty overall, you know, that's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. And that's taking it up another notch, not just the youth attending or not just the youth people,
mm-hmm.
period, attending their local county state meetings, but also
right
understanding, like you said, where the money first is coming from and then
mm-hmm.
where it's going. We did a few or several like in-person town halls with communities during the session around taxes, and just understanding how, you know, where the taxes come from within the state of Arkansas, and then how are they dispersed. And it was a small little PowerPoint presentation, and then we had a handout. But just that interaction, people learn so much. They have so many questions. And those
mm-hmm.
are the interactions,
mm-hmm.
like you were saying, like, don't stop. Like, we have to make sure that, you know, the people that we work with and alongside, that they are aware of these things and they understand
mm-hmm. Exactly.
The tax structure and where it comes from. What is a tax cut? What would it mean for our state? How would it affect our education budget and all those things? So I'm with you. I'm with you, Ms. Sings.
I think it's, you know, at this particular point, this is just me talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to to reach out to some more high school kids. It's just time to reach out to bring in some more younger people. Bring in your son, to bring to it, it's just time to reach out to them and take them. Let me see, is the legislative session going to be next year,
It's the fiscal session.
2014?
It's the fiscal, but that's the money. Is that'll be good for them. We usually take them like during the active legislative session, but not the fiscal session. But you're right. We need to make plans to make sure that they're up there during the fiscal session.
Exactly.
Just to
And
watch
they
in and try to
understand how
understand.
they, yeah, it, that they understand how their taxes are being spent. But I hate to cut you off, but I got to get out of here. I got a doctor's appointment,
Okay.
and
It was good talking to you, Miss Singleton, and
all right.
thank you for everything that you've done.
Oh, and I thank you for taking it on to the next level. Candace, let me tell you this before I go.
Okay.
You know more about me from an advocate side than my own children. You know more about what I have done to be an advocate than they do. And my youngest son is an advocate. He just, he doesn't know what all I have been doing since I've been back in Arkansas. Neither, no, they don't know. And so, when my time is up on this side, you are the one who's going to have to tell my family what I did, because they
I
don't
will.
know.
I'll tell them all about
Yeah,
it.
because they don't know. I'm serious.
Yes,
But
I tell them
anyway,
about it.
please do. Yeah, it was good talking to you. And so to just tell your son I say hello,
Yes, ma'am.
and tell your mom and dad I say hello.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Represent Rural podcast. If you listened to it, you really heard a conversation with someone that I treasure. I value someone that literally brought me into this work. And it also made me remember another person that I truly valued, and I don't feel like I got enough time with him. He was a mentor, and that was Mr. David Beckwith. He was a mentor from afar, and he always encouraged me. And every conversation I had with him, I came back better, I feel, especially professionally, personally as well, but especially professionally. And something that he encouraged me to do was to add a rural power move to the end of each podcast episode. And I haven't done it in a while, but I feel like it was very befitting for me to add one to this episode. So the rural power move is just a call to action, something for, people, especially my rural people, to get into over the next week. And the rural power move for this episode would be to for everyone, especially my rural people, to acknowledge rural National Rural Health Day. And that is on November the 16th. It is celebrated since 2011 on every third Thursday of November. So it's a day and an opportunity to bring attention to and honor the incredible efforts of rural healthcare providers, communities, organizations, state offices of rural health, and other stakeholders dedicated to addressing the unique healthcare needs of rural America. If you want to learn more and find out how you can become involved on that day, you can visit powerofrural.org. That's powerofrural.org. Thank you all for tuning in. Until next time, take care.